Blog Talk Radio.
And we are here for another episode of Vanilla Rundown. This is Will Osgood. We're recording this on Monday, March 19th, the night after a crazy NCAA first two rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament, and a disappointing LSU Tigers loss, which we'll talk about for probably about a minute. And then we'll go on to some other things, but got Jordan Grove and looks like Jason Bernas. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh. He's here.
Finally.
Hey, messed it up last week. I was here last week too.
That is true. But we could alert the media, but we're trying to be the media, so I don't know if that phrase really works in this situation. Anyway, we only have about a half hour, so let's get into it. LSU made the second round of the NIT, and then they laid an egg tonight. Playing in Utah, they lost 95-71, so we don't really need to talk a whole lot about that. I do want to ask one question. How do y'all like the international rules being used in the NIT?
I love them.
I didn't know it was happening, but I do like the international rules.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until, that was the first NIT game this year that I had watched. I realized it just makes for a better game of basketball overall. I think the game just flows better. It's kind of strange, but
I like
that's
the quarter
just like
system
international
too.
Hockey too.
What's that, Jordan?
I said I like the quarter system. I think it adds more strategy to the game. You know, you got 4 10-minute quarters instead of just 2 20-minute halves. So it allows a little more strategy, because before it used to be just a foul fest to end the game. Now you actually have to think about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't slow
down as much. I think that's probably the best part is what to us is like an NBA foul system. I think that's probably the best part, other than the fact you still have 5 personal fouls instead of 6. That would probably be the one thing they could change, in my opinion. But anyway, Tigers, can we agree, this will be the last we'll talk about LSU, but can we agree, decent first season for Will Wade and definitely some building blocks for the future?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Jordan be the one to talk about that more, because I'm sure he's watched more LSU basketball than both of us. But, it's going into the second round of the NIT, having that momentum, and then you have that great class coming in next year. Hopefully you get some of your main guys, not to jump, like Warriors, Tremont Warriors.
Right, right.
That could be a team to be reckoned with next year.
Absolutely. Yep. Think about the turnover that the roster had. Will Wade basically turned over 50% of the roster and built it up with transfers and people that he was able to get to commit to the program and his vision for the program, and they were able to make the second round of the NIT this year. That's a strong, strong first season from a program that was pretty directionless before him.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, of course, we've talked about this before, the goal being of making the NIT, hoping that kind of can give you some tournament experience and kind of, I don't really like the word momentum, but just kind of that push into the next season to kind of get started off right and get to the NCAA tournament next year, and that's the goal. So let's just briefly just kind of review what happened this weekend. Of course,
insanity.
The biggest story, the Yeah, the biggest story of them all, of course, being that for the first time ever, a 16 seed did beat a number one seed in UMBC over Virginia. And then after that, that almost seemed to open the floodgate to madness. So what were kind of some of y'all's big takeaways or just things that you enjoyed or thought were crazy or whatever, just your thoughts on the weekend in the NCAA tournament?
I'd say that the Big East was a little overrated because you saw Xavier go down. You saw Cincinnati's an AAC, but you saw Xavier go down. You saw Providence go down. You saw Butler go down. So a lot of the big-time Big East programs, except for Villanova, all lost. And a lot of your teams that struggled, too, to finish the season and try to find their footing, actually found their footing in the dance. And I'm looking at you, Syracuse and Texas A&M. So, and even like your blue blood programs, too, I mean, they weren't immune. Look at what happened with Michigan State and the defending champion, North Carolina.
And Will's Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
It was a great weekend. Is UMBC Golden Retrievers or just Retrievers?
They're just Retrievers.
Oh man, that's not good. They're not golden.
They missed.
They're just Retrievers.
I heard they were more known for their chess prowess than anything at that school.
Yeah, they are. They're a big time chess program.
Oh man.
So how embarrassed are you if you're Virginia being the first number one seed? And again, I think all year long they really were the best team in college basketball, in my opinion.
Oh, they were, but their best probably scorer and one of their more versatile defenders went out for the season, and we talked about it, and I think in our last show saying that watch out, this is gonna cause problems for Virginia. I just didn't think it would cause problems for them in the first round. But,
I
mean, that's what happens. They went against a team with a diametrically opposite style, and UMBC just ran them off the court.
Yeah, let's put it this way: like this, coming from a casual fan of college basketball, the way this whole year went about, there really was no one seeds in that tournament. It was probably like 8-2 seeds. So this is basically a perfect year for that one seed to be upset by a 16 seed. Because there was no clear-cut top five or really. I mean, did you really can put like them – a team up there for like a longer than 3 weeks and say you can really believe in them? I mean, not really with this season. It's like 07 with college football.
Yeah. I think the only team that really kind of stayed up there and that was Villanova. I think the loss by Virginia showed the gigantic flaw in Tony Bennett's system. Like, you can't just focus on defense the whole year without having at least two options on offense, which they only had pretty much one, and that was their sixth man.
It's okay, man. You kind of figured he'd be singing the blues, right? I mean,
So we also have Trey Sarver on the line with us, and so Trey, I think you're more of a football guy, aren't you?
I follow basketball a little bit.
Hit a little Florida State Noles.
Hey, we're in the Sweet 16.
Dude, very surprising.
Yeah, y'all had a huge win last night, a pretty big comeback, really.
Yeah, it's good, but at the same time, now I got to be nice to Leonard Hamilton, so I really don't know how I feel about that. But I'll take the win. He'll be extended forever now because of this, and I'll deal with that when the time comes.
is pretty much going to die while he's a head coach of Florida State.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm dealing with it.
I mean, would they
but my
be
bracket's looking pretty good
without him? Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, I left the bracket blank, and I put UCF as the champion. Looking good.
Yep.
Pretty solid there.
Hey, if you let them in the tournament, who knows?
Exactly.
Yep, the real national champion.
Nothing but my national champion.
Yeah. Oh,
my good.
Goodness. Well, so not only was there madness in college basketball this weekend, but this past week, and really even a couple weeks before that, there was madness in NFL free agency. And obviously we want to focus on the Saints, but there's a lot of big stuff going on in free agency and trades and just all of that leading up to the draft. So, and we only have a limited amount of time. So just give me, each of you, give me like your top non-Saints related free agency or NFL offseason headline of the past week or so.
So the Minnesota Vikings are either going to look great for signing Kirk Cousins or it's going to blow up in their face because you're depending upon the Washington Redskins front office actually knowing what the hell they have in Kirk Cousins, which is like a 50-50 chance. You know, they franchise tagged him 2 years in a row. So then Minnesota signs him to, like, what, $84 million guaranteed?
Guaranteed.
So you're really – you're betting the whole frickin' farm plus, like, a couple of your relatives for Kirk Cousins to pan out. So he either better take him to the Super Bowl and win one or Mike Zimmer's going to be looking for another job.
Yeah. Are we even sure that Cousins is better than Case Keenum?
No.
Nah.
Cousins has more years of playing at that level than Keenum.
True.
But
and
I'm a huge
Keenum fan, so
Gunslinger.
Well, here's
but at the same time Case Keenum was playing for Jeff Fisher, so hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right.
And also, you saw what happens when Keenum gets behind, like, a pretty decent offensive line with a fairly good running game. And then Denver and chucklehead John Elway, who is still resting on his laurels of winning a Super Bowl from 20 years ago, is going to sign him to a giant contract. And whenever he doesn't have an offensive line, he's got five turnstiles and no running backs. So, of course, Keenum's going to wash out in Denver. Like, it was stupid to sign him.
That was the most asinine contract. How do you give Case Keenum $18 million a year? I don't care, like, whatever he did last year. Like, that was great. He did it in a dome inside. He can't throw in Denver. I'm sorry. He should have just stayed his ass indoors in Arizona where people just go on ambulances there. I mean, you go there to die. But anyways,
I don't know. Doesn't the ball fly farther in Denver?
What was that?
Doesn't the ball fly farther in Denver though?
Yeah,
he already
deal with the elements and everything else.
Now we're talking about deflation and air balls.
He already throws one of the best deep balls. So, but the question is, do they have anybody? Do they have anybody who can catch it?
Okay, and
that's why they have a draft.
Quarterbacks,
true.
Can we talk? Speaking of the draft here, Trey, like, and this actually is a good segue. So the New York Jets front office is going to sign Ryan Fitzmagic. They're going to sign Teddy Bridgewater, and then they're going to give up the farm to move up three spots to the number three pick in the draft to draft a quarterback. What in the giant hell are they thinking?
I think they called the Colts saying they wanted the pick. And the Colts said, all right, if you want to swap picks, we want both your twos and a two next year. And the Jets are like, yes. And the Colts are like, wait, what?
No, I think the Jets.
That was a fuck it offer. And they took it like 2K.
Think the Jets called the wrong New York team.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, Indianapolis called the wrong New York team.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But the Jets were dumb enough to take the offer anyway.
Dude.
Yep.
They're trying to spin it like the Eagles trade up to get Carson Wentz, but I look at it more like the Bears trade from last year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've never seen somebody trade up for the third spot almost 2 months out from the draft. I've never seen that happen before.
A couple years ago, it only took like a second round pick and I think a sixth round pick the year later to move up a couple spots, like to the number three pick. Mm-hmm. And the Jets are over here like mortgaging their future to move up because like they're one player away from competing.
Yeah, but think about this now. Like, you know who comes out really looking great out of this Colts-Jets trade? The freaking Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns. At first, they would have had to pick Barkley at number one. Now, you can get Barkley at four because the first three picks will be quarterbacks.
Yeah, they were talking about, they're going to take Saquon Barkley, even though they've already signed Carlos Hyde and they extended Duke Johnson. And my thought is, well, I mean, I guess you got a point. Like, Saquon Barkley, for how much he shredded college competition, was kind of like how Reggie Bush shredded college competitions. And a lot of the same flaws to Saquon Barkley's game were the same that Reggie Bush had. So you actually could go, say, the best quarterback you've got ranked on your draft board at number one, and then at number four you can go Chubb out of NC State and have Myles Garrett and Chubb as your defensive ends and just wreck shop on defense.
Yeah, but you don't like Ogba? I like Ogba. His name's Ogba.
I mean,
are we so sure that the Giants are going quarterback?
I don't think they're keeping that pick.
I feel like the Giants are taking Barkley.
I mean, if they keep the pick, they're probably taking Barkley or Darnold.
Yeah, because I don't think Eli, and I especially don't think old Arch, is going to really be having it with the Giants drafting a quarterback and waiting. I think they're going to avoid that and get Barkley.
Or, I'll tell you what they could do is they could draft whichever quarterback, and then you see Eli getting traded during the draft to a team that misses out to go start somewhere else, wherever the hell that may be, and the Giants get a couple more draft picks. Yeah, Arizona.
Eli ain't trying to go out in a Wizards jersey, man. They ain't about to be that.
He got so mad last year when he got benched.
I would have been too because he got benched for old Chucklehead that was with the New York Jets. What was his name?
Gino, he got punched in the face.
Yeah, Geno.
And I'm telling y'all right now, because I'm up here with all these Giants fans, and they talk about that still today. So the thought of even trading Eli, no. Everything will burn down. What there is to burn down in New Jersey will burn down.
Yeah,
we know there's not much. So kind of transitioning into the Saints, we want to spend the last 10 minutes or so talking specifically Saints. But we can go even looking at it through the lens of a draft. Hasn't everything that's happened in the quarterback market, isn't that like so just set up perfectly for the Saints to potentially get their quarterback of the future?
You trying to see Baker Mayfield at red eye?
Because
Baker Mayfield would be a red eye.
He'll be a Heat too, man. Bring him the Heat. Come on now.
It all depends on because you got so many teams looking for quarterbacks. I don't think any quarterback is going to be available wherever the Saints draft. I think you're going to see Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson all fly off the board, and Josh Allen all before the Saints pick. But what I think this does is that it's going to push down all your impact defensive players to the Saints pick. I mean, because right now we've got Alex Okafor coming off a torn Achilles as the starting defensive end opposite Cam Jordan. The Saints definitely need somebody there. You also kind of have a gaping hole, too, at defensive tackle. You either start who you did last year, depending upon what happens with Ndamukong Suh, or you draft somebody, or, like, I've got my own opinion there. I think you sign Jonathan Hankins and just say, look, we're going to sign you. If Sue also wants to sign, great, but I'm not waiting around for Sue to make his decision.
So we can have Hankins and Rankins?
Yep, the Hankins and Rankins.
Ranky-hanky.
Yep, and look it's already a done deal because Hankins went to Ohio State, so it's going to happen.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, that's it? Yeah. That seals the deal?
Bring
all
Ohio State boys in here.
Ooh, so if we do have all these Ohio State guys, how is Baker Mayfield received in the locker room?
Oh, he's
going to come. You know Baker Mayfield. He's swinging a pair of brass nuts between his legs, so he's just going to come in there and plant the flag in the locker room.
In the locker room.
Mayfield for the sole reason of making Dr. Evil and Mini-Me memes with him and Drew Brees. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Any
picture of them side by side.
I think out of any quarterback, I think he's the one that falls, if there's any quarterback that falls.
Like, he's still catching heat, too, from media and draft guys about his character and how he was as a quarterback, too, and his flaws there. You get to a point, and I think I've talked about this before, that you just over-criticize everyone's flaws to where you don't actually see them as the football players that they are. And for me, Baker Mayfield is my QB1 in this draft. He is awesome. I've got so many questions about everyone else, especially Josh Allen, that I don't see how in the world somebody could put Josh Allen as their number one quarterback on the board.
Yeah, I love Josh Allen, man.
Yeah.
I agree with that for the most part, but the reason why they look at character and stuff like that, Cedric Ellis.
No, Lord.
Cedric Ellis looking like a big teddy bear for nothing.
Yeah. He's shutting down the club every night. Every Saturday night. He's shutting down the club.
Oh, Republic.
Getting up at noon.
Yeah, him and Willie Snead and Dante
Stallworth,
shutting down the club.
Oh, man.
Well, you can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them, right?
I mean, they can do what they want. Baker Mayfield's not going to last 27 now, and we ain't trading up.
No, we're not.
And I don't
if
want
If anything, really, like, I could kind of see us trading down this year. I know that's everybody's, like, fantasy is to see the Saints trade down, but shit, like, this year, why not recoup some picks?
Yeah, if there was a year to
I'm
do
about
it,
it
would be this
since
time.
We don't have a second round pick, I'm about it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's recoup
some picks,
get another
second or third, and then use those late round picks that you picked up from like the trade to Miami for the Stephon Anthony and move back up into like the third or fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
Who y'all want with that first pick?
An impact out there.
27. Like if I had like if I gave you like three choices, like out of those three choices, that's who you would want. You'd be fine with.
Who are you?
Like,
who would
they be?
Which three you give me?
No, I'm saying like you give the three, like who you would want at that spot.
Rashawn Evans. Lorenzo Carter and Sam Hubbard.
See, I'd go Sam Hubbard, Dallas Goedert, and probably
in the first round.
Yeah, because you don't have a second round pick, dude. Dallas Goedert's gonna be a Pro Bowler.
Oh, I'll really like Dallas.
I want Dallas Goedert, but I think we could trade down for him.
I mean, you can trade down for him.
He sounds like
you got to watch what Jacksonville's doing.
It doesn't necessarily need to be in the second round. We could trade lower in the first round. There's still a few picks between us in the second round.
Yeah.
Well, plus Jacksonville just signed I can't remember who it was, but they signed another tight end.
Ebron went to Indy, right?
Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think.
That's who it was, yeah.
That's all signs pointing to. They went for Jimmy Graham or the draft. And I think the first round pick is going to be a tight end, whether it's at 27 or 31.
So let me run this by you, only because I don't think he costs a whole lot right now because, we're approaching the third week of free agency and he's not signed. What do you think about signing Antonio Davis to, like, a vet minimum deal or, a very cheap deal to let him finish his career with Drew Brees?
You mean Antonio Gates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Antonio Gates.
I'd be all for it, but like I said, you bring him back.
Still draft a tight end, though.
But
right, even if you do that.
It's so stocked, but, so, I mean.
Totally down with signing Gates. Still drafting Go-Dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, hey, so what do
you
think about
He could be our Aaron Hernandez. Whoops.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I meant the second really good tight end. You know, just keep him away from Bourbon during the Bayou Classic, and we'll be fine.
Ish, yeah.
So Trey, you mentioned you're a Florida State fan. So speaking of former Seminole, Patrick Robinson is rejoining the Saints. So what do y'all think about that signing?
Yeah, fine.
I have mixed feelings.
Wait, hold on. We talked about this. We were messaging about this on the day of the signing, so it sounds like y'all have talked yourselves into it.
No, don't lump y'all into this. I was fine.
Sorry,
I've
George,
always
sorry,
been
George,
fine
George,
with the signing.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you talking about me? You want me to say? You want me to say?
I'm always worried about a guy that overperforms on a walk year.
Yeah,
so I still have the memories of him sucking for us for 4 years, and then he played really good conveniently the last year of his contract. How many times have we seen a dude go back to sucking after they get paid? So I got some worries, yeah.
True.
But he's technically been on a walk here for the last 3 years, and he's sucked two out of 3 years. So, I mean, he's on the come-up.
And now he's on a four-year deal, 20 mil. He's good.
He's good.
But,
he's going to get 2
years
out of
that. But, yeah,
so
wasn't last year the first year he ever really played the nickel, though? Or at least where that was his primary role?
When I was talking to Trey,
that's the thing that gives me hope that maybe he'll be good in that spot. But that's, like, the only thing bringing me towards the light side. I'm mostly dark side right now. That's, like, the one thing.
Yeah,
this dark side stuff, but Ray's kind of hot. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
Like, looking at how he's performed and his grade for playing in the slot, which, you know, he was the Eagles' best cornerback last year, and due to the fact that he did play in the slot, and that's where he's going to be playing in New Orleans, like, I'm positive about him actually being a good signing because you got Lattimore and you got Crowley holding down both spots and you got P. Rob then in the slot. The slot cornerback last year for us was P. J. Williams, who was dog shit. So
that was 7-0.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's a track record with these Seminole corners in New Orleans, isn't there?
I mean, the only thing
we need more Ohio State guys, I guess.
Hell yeah.
Is this like
Does anybody find it funny that Kenny Vaccaro still isn't signed or even sniffed a visit anywhere?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, it's not that he's not signed. It's, and nobody's even mentioning his name in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Delvin.
Maybe
he
ends up
back
with us
on
a super short deal.
A super short
Kenny
deal or a half or one?
Kenny Vaccaro is not coming back. Delvin Bro, I take back with like a 1 year deal.
I bet you Vaccaro comes back.
All right, well, we
didn't even realize that Bro was out there in free agency. Shit.
Yep. Well, we're about out of time.
Well,
we
definitely need to bring him back.
It's been the NOLA rundown. We'll talk to y'all later.
Later. But